Hey, good evening, Truth Seekers. Mike Malloy here on the Nova M Radio Network. Thanks for tuning in. We have to begin immediately with a massive apology for something we put on the air last night that I'm still kind of spinning that I actually did that. If you remember, we had a call from someone in Arizona. What was the woman's name? Do you remember? You don't remember? And she told us about Hillary Clinton's preacher in Utica, New York, who had been sentenced, arrested, charged, sentenced for child molestation, and was going to serve some time in jail, 3 years in prison, and how that would impact all the comments about Barack Obama's preacher. Well, when the caller told me about that, we immediately went to the Utica newspaper website. And sure enough, there it was. Here's what it said. When the Reverend William Prokanik put his hand on the Bible during his sex abuse trial in Oneida County Court earlier this year, he swore to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. Here it comes. But as the former Clinton pastor was sentenced today, or Friday, to 3 years in prison for inappropriately touching a 7-year-old girl, and so on and so forth, the former Clinton pastor, what they were referring to is a town, not a senator. The former Clinton pastor means the former Clinton, New York pastor. Now, tossing all caution to the winds, when I heard the story last night, this shows you how, this is just one example of how it's very easy to shoot from the hip, especially when you have a borderline hysteric like me. In this crazy political season, not that I'm shifting any responsibility for any of this. I should have known better with a girl like you. I should have known better. I should have read through the story. Now, it wasn't until the program was off the air last night. Kathy was reading the story, and she said, Mike, I think they were not referring to Clinton as in Hillary, but Clinton as in a town in New York. I said, nah, 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 nah. She said, look, come here, read the story. So I looked over her shoulder on the screen and read the entire story, and then immediately melted into a pool of crimson protoplasm and just kind of slid under the door and out into the backyard, across the fenced-in area and into the woods where I spent the night. This was horrifying that I actually put that on the air. If anyone was offended by that, and I can't see why you would be, but if you were, I really, really, truly, deeply apologize for a very unprofessional instance on the part of this program and me. I really do. If you're a Clinton supporter and you were listening to that last night, I don't know what to say except I apologize. That was a grievous error. And I will not let that happen again. I try not to let mistakes like that occur, but that one occurred. So anyway, I apologize to anybody who was listening to the program last night, because that kind of garbage, I do not want. I don't mean the story itself. I mean my interpretation of the story. That kind of garbage interpretation I do not want on this program ever. That is too much like Limbaugh or Hannity or Savage or Hugh Hewitt or these right-wingers who don't give a tinker's damn about the factual basis of a story. So, again, and I'm going to have to do this, I think, second hour, Kathy, for the people who don't tune in the first hour, but I really apologize for that mistake last night. That was unprofessional. God, no, I don't know. I don't know if I can go on the program. Last night when Kathy showed that to me, I just, oh, my God. All right. This situation between Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama, is it not time to bring this to an end? I mean, seriously, I'm not sure what to do here. As a voter, as an American, McCain was all over television today with his speech about all of a sudden he's an anti-war candidate. I had no idea, but he was all over. And while McCain is talking about the improvements that have occurred in Iraq, Again, he did this a year ago, and we've got some sound for you from McCain a year ago. But as he was talking today about all the improvements in Iraq, CNN was running live video. Was it live, Kathy? Live video from Baghdad of bombs going off and people being shot dead and you know, little pools of blood coagulating in the streets, which I thought was rather creative on the part of CNN. But while the Democrats are in this death duel, what is this I saw on ABC News tonight? Is it 29 or 27? I'm afraid of making a mistake now. 27%, 29%, one of those numbers, of Hillary supporters say they will vote for McCain if Barack Obama gets the nomination. And 22% of Obama supporters say they will vote for McCain if Hillary gets the nomination. Okay, then let's just start calling him President McCain. Let's be done with this nonsense. It's President McCain. It's over. It's finished. I've never heard of anything like this. I really haven't. I don't understand what's going on among Democratic supporters of these two candidates. I don't. I just don't. It's like some form of political harakiri that's being committed here. You know, I will fall on my dagger and rip my guts out before I will vote for Barack or Hillary. What's wrong with you people? You know, if this turns out to be really what you're about and really what you do, then get out of the Democratic Party. Scram. Go away. Go become a Republican if you're going to vote for McCain. Not that the Democratic Party or the Republican Party are that different. They're really not. But parsing it even closer to the bone, Hillary and Barack are not that different as candidates. So are you telling me, you nutballs on both sides of the fence, are you telling me that if the other candidate on the Democratic side gets the nomination, you're going to go vote for the Republican? And right after you do that, you're going to take out a little knife and cut off your nose and then look in the mirror and say, there, face, ha! Spite! What is wrong? What has happened here? Now, let me tell you something else. If the formula used by the Republican Party, you know, the they award delegates in a winner-take-all fashion, just like it's done in a general election when all of the state's electoral votes goes to the candidate who wins that state. That's why here in Georgia, we're screwed. I mean, you talk about your vote not counting. My vote, Kathy's vote, only counted during the primary. We're just absolutely useless here in Georgia. We might as well not even vote, seriously, for anybody, because we know how this redneck, half-assed, backward state is going to go. It's going to go for McCain. It's going to go for the Republican. The Republican could be Satan's niece, and they would still vote for the Republican here in Georgia. So our vote is about as useful as a used Kleenex. We know that. We live in a place without representation on the electoral stage because of this hideous electoral college crap. But that's how the Republicans have set up their primaries. Basically the same thing. Whoever wins gets all the electoral votes. Or, I'm sorry, all the delegates. And the delegates, if I'm not mistaken, aren't the delegates correspond with the number of electoral votes. If the Democratic Party handled it the way the Republican Party does, Hillary Clinton would be the nominee right now. Do you understand that? She won the key big states, several, including California, Texas, and New York. But that's not the system that the Democrats devised. And no matter how much Clinton partisans talk up the importance of those big states, the party, the Democratic Party, decided years ago not to lean heavily on large states to determine the nominee. It's too late to change the rules the Democrats agreed to. You that's not how you play, even if you're a Democrat. A Democrat goes only so far in trying to get his or her agenda into law or into Congress or into the executive branch. And at some point, a Democrat then turns slowly around, raises a gun to his or her temple and pulls the trigger. Democrats love to commit political suicide over and over and over again. I don't know. They're addicted to it. We'll be back after the break.
I had a bell. I ring it in the morning. Ring it in the evening. All over this land. I ring out danger. I ring out a warning. I ring about the love between my brothers and my sisters. All over this land.
On Nova M Radio. Talk radio matters here.
From the field that this ain't exactly real, or it's real, but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from the sirens night and day, from the fires of the homeless, from the ashes of the gay.
It's about 22 past the hour. Look for some headlines tomorrow that are only going to get worse. According to the Seattle Times News Service, fierce gun battles have erupted between Iraqi security forces, those are the people we support, and supporters of Muqtada al-Sadr, who is described as an anti-American cleric. He's the one who declared a truce, and that's the reason there has been a decline in the number of killings, slightly, since last August. I had mentioned this at my website this morning. You'll find it, MikeMalloy.com, right on the front page, a little mini blog I write every day. But it appears that the surge, it doesn't make any difference what John McCain says, or what his impression is, or what Bush says, or what Cheney says, what anyone says. It's starting to escalate once again. And remember, Muqtada al-Sadr, if I'm not mistaken, is deeply aligned with Iran, with the Shia, or is he is Sunni? Hell, I don't even know, and I'm afraid to make a declaration here for fear I'll get it wrong. Just look for enormous mountains of trouble and violence starting to erupt again in that sad country. A couple of emails here. This is from G. G writes in, Mike, why is it that preachers like Hagee can call the Catholic Church a whore, and that other monkey that introduced McCain can spew kill all Muslims? But everyone is harping on Jeremiah Wright because of snippets of his sermon taken out of context. The sad part about it is that he spoke the damn truth. This country's history is fraught with incidences of our government killing, experimenting, and using blacks as spearheads to pass laws. Drugs would be legal today had it not been for the continuing allegations that they made black men lascivious and prone to rape white women. I don't understand, G writes, why the media is harping on Reverend Wright when most of the spiritual advisors to the past four presidents are open homophobic racists. And Hillary is a member of a group called the Fellowship. This group actively sought out the Nazi Party in the 30s. Don't tell me these people have changed their doctrines and way of thinking in 80 years. People take from their church what helps them in life. If we all listened and lived, as a lot of our clergy told us to do, there'd be war and riots in the streets right now. What a damn country. Whatever happened to, quote, freedom of speech, end quote, G. No argument from me, G. This whole Reverend Jeremiah Wright thing to me was strictly a red herring. Corporate America got pissed off because it looked like their candidate although I think both Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama, to a greater or lesser degrees, are corporate candidates. But their numero uno, Hillary Clinton, was losing because people were voting, actually goddamn voting. Can you believe that? They had the absolute temerity to go out in these primaries and vote for someone other than Hillary Clinton. How dare they? That's the part I don't get for the Hillary Clinton supporters. I don't get it. If the people, you're a Democrat, aren't you? Don't you believe in the will of the people? Don't you believe in democracy? Doesn't democracy say majority rules, protecting the rights of the minority once it gets to the level of making laws? But what the hell is wrong with you people? Nobody has tampered with anything, have they? Or have they? If Barack Obama is literally winning most of the delegates and most of the popular vote, what is your problem? Hillary Clinton supporters? I mean, come on. What do you want to do? Do you want the Obama campaign to spot her 100,000 or a million votes? Do you want that? Because, you know, she's just a girl. Is that what you want? You people are acting out of control. You're losing it. You're acting like four-year-olds on a preschool playground. Stop it. Can you? Can you just stop it? Forgot what I started to say. We'll be back in a minute. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
Do not go gently into that good night. Rage, rage against the flying monkey right with Mike Malloy.
It's about 25 before the hour. Barry in Corvallis, Oregon, sent this in the other night. Hey, Mike, one of the members of McCain's new economic advisory team, Kevin Hassett from the American Enterprise Institute, co-authored a book that was published in November of 2000. The book was titled Dow 36,000, The New Strategy for Profiting from the Coming Rise in the Stock Market. He wrote it when the Dow was sitting at 10,824. In retrospect, a good time to exit the market. The premise of the book was or is that the Dow would hit 36,000 by the year 2010. Mr. Hassett was pretty much rightfully dismissed as an idiot. Now he's on McCain's economic team. Well, yeah, let me see. 1 + 1 = 2. By the way, we have a moment with Bob coming up next hour. A new feature, a new segment to the Malloy program. A moment with Bob. So that's coming up at the bottom of the next hour. Now, is this true? Did Hillary Clinton actually meet with Richard Mellon Scaife, the publisher of that newspaper in Pittsburgh? Kathy, do you know if there an actual meeting occurred? You don't know either?
Let's go check on Alternet.
No, let's not. All right, let's make the assumption that Hillary did meet with Richard Mellon Scaife. He's the guy who bankrolled the Arkansas Project. He's the one that spent, 10 years trying to crucify Hillary Clinton's husband and her. And apparently she met with him, and she had a forum in Pittsburgh the other day because the PA primary is coming up, of course. I think she was at a forum sponsored by Scaife's newspaper. I'm assuming she met with Scaife. But I would think the only reason Hillary would go into the presence of Richard Mellon Scaife would be to pull the pin on the suicide belt she was wearing. Wouldn't you think? Why would she get near someone who spent the better part of a decade trying to nail her husband's hands and feet to a wooden cross? I don't quite understand, unless I entertain the idea that Hillary Clinton is a political opportunist who would sell her, her daughter in order to get elected president. Is that unfair? Is that a gross, terrible statement on my part? Is it? Why is she meeting with this thug? John writes in, maybe if he can't make a good enough deal for her, we can arrange a meeting with Mephistopheles himself. Well, maybe not, John writes. After she has sold her soul, I'm not sure what she has left to offer. Perhaps her virtue? You people are merciless, aren't you? You're just merciless. Why don't I get witty, ironic, snotty, hateful emails about Obama? Why is it only, I only get them about Hillary? Is it that Obama supporters are witty, ironic, and snotty, and that Hillary supporters are just sitting there pouting? The only thing Hillary supporters can come up with is if you don't support her, you're a sexist son of a bitch, and you ought to burn in hell forever. And if you don't support her, and Obama gets the nomination, I'm going to go vote for McCain. And after you do that, you're going to hold your breath until you turn purple, right? George in Seattle writes, Mike, I used to think that Hillary Clinton was just a tough fighter who didn't want to lose. But now it's becoming obvious that Hillary Clinton is really fighting to maintain the status quo. The way presidential elections work today is that corporate America picks the candidates that they can most live with and winnow out the rest. For the 2008 presidential election, the corporate candidates of choice were Hillary Clinton for the Democrats and John McCain for the Republicans. Corporate America could have been happy with a few other compliant Republicans, but on the Democratic side, only Hillary Clinton could most easily pass the corporate test. All of the other Democratic candidates represented too much change and had to go. The problem is that Barack Obama didn't go away, and in fact, he's still the front runner. Corporate America can't stand to have their plans upset, and this is why both the Republicans and Hillary Clinton are working to destroy Barack's candidacy. So, if it looks like George Bush, Karl Rove, and Hillary Clinton are working together to deny Barack Obama the nomination, it's because they are. George in Seattle. All right. No, I really don't understand this unbridled contempt that some of you Hillary supportings are displaying, at least in national polls. You're saying it. You're not saying it to me, but you're saying it in national polls. McCain is really starting to make me nervous all over again. Let's get in the Wayback Machine here. McCain gave Wolf Blitzer an interview several months back. Actually, it was about a year ago. The reason this is important tonight is because he gave one of those "We're winning in Iraq" speeches today. Now, these next few clips are not from today. And again, CNN's coverage of his speech today, ironically, was interrupted by breaking news of the increased violence in Basra in southern Iraq, which left more than 50 dead and hundreds wounded. But this little gem came from McCain's interview with Wolf Blitzer in March of last year after his fabled stroll through the markets of Baghdad without fear of any kind of violence whatsoever. We start with Wolf Blitzer.
Here's what you told Bill Bennett on his radio show on Monday. There are neighborhoods in Baghdad where you and I could walk through those neighborhoods today. The U.S. is beginning to succeed in Iraq. Everything we hear that if you leave the so-called green zone, the international zone, and you go outside of that secure area, relatively speaking, you're in trouble if you're an American.
That's where you ought to catch up on things, Wolf. General Petraeus goes out there almost every day in an unarmed Humvee. I think you ought to catch up. You see, you are giving the old line of 3 months ago. I understand it. You certainly don't get it through the filter of some of the media, but I know for a fact that much of the success we're experiencing, including the ability of Americans in many parts, not all. We've got a long, long way to go. We only got two of the five brigades there to go into some neighborhoods in Baghdad in a secure fashion.
Really? Okay. So Americans unarmed, no flak jackets, no helmets, no blast shields, nothing. Just, you know, you just walk in there. All right. Well, after McCain's preposterous claims about Petraeus driving around his unarmed Humvee, remember all this? And safe strolls through Baghdad, Wolf Blitzer turned to Michael Ware, one of the more honest of CNN's correspondents in Iraq. This is where it got interesting. Blitzer begins by saying a very different view of the reality there from our own reporter on the ground, who says Senator McCain couldn't be more wrong. Let's go to CNN's Michael Ware. Michael, you've been there, what, for 4 years? You're walking around Baghdad on a daily basis. Has there been this improvement that Senator McCain is speaking about?
Well, I'd certainly like to bring Senator McCain up to speed if he ever gives me the opportunity. And if I have any difficulty hearing you right now, Wolf, that's because of the helicopters circling overhead and the gun battle that is blazing away just a few blocks down the road. Is Baghdad any safer? Sectarian violence, one particular type of violence, is down. But none of the American generals here on the ground have anything like Senator McCain's confidence. I mean, Senator McCain's credibility now on Iraq, which has been so solid to this point, is now being left out hanging to dry. To suggest that there's any neighborhood in this city where an American can walk freely is beyond ludicrous. I'd love Senator McCain to tell me where that neighborhood is, and he and I can go for a stroll. And to think that General David Petraeus travels this city in an unarmed Humvee. I mean, in the hours since Senator McCain has said this, I've spoken to some military sources, and there was laughter down the line. I mean, certainly the general travels in a Humvee. There's multiple Humvees around it, heavily armed. There's attack helicopters, Predator drones, sniper teams, all sorts of layers of protection. So no, Senator McCain is way off base on this one.
Which kind of begs the question, do we really want another power-mad, delusional neocon running the country and dictating foreign policy? Wasn't 8 years of this garbage enough? And have you noticed the spirit, the shade, the shadow, that everywhere you see McCain now, you see this creature with kind of a half smirk on his face, leaning over occasionally to whisper something into McCain's ear that will hopefully make it through the canal up to a little hammer and anvil and brrr, translate into sound waves that his brain can then interpret. And that shade, that dark shadow, that ghost is, oh my God, Joe Lieberman. What does Lieberman want? I'll tell you what he wants. He wants to be Secretary of State. Now we have one more from Blitza and Michael Ware, which we will share with you momentarily. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
In your stinking war, so go ahead, tear down my door. 'Cause you can't make me kill the man. You can't make me drop bombs on his land. Whoa, you can't make me part of all your killing. My free will stay with it. The people of Iraq,
it's in the Gulf Coast countries' interests that there be a stable Iran.
Iran that is capable of protecting Iranian influence.
Ow, boy, that hurt. What happened to our equalizers here? I'll get my hearing back in a second.
And when the night is cloudy, there is still a light that shines.
Hello?
Shine until the morning.
9 before the hour. I don't even know what that was, except a loud noise that went through my headphones like Now I know how Limbaugh can't hear. All right, last blast from the past for tonight. Wolf Blitzer. This is a year ago. Then asked the CNN Baghdad reporter Michael Ware this last question. Michael, when Senator McCain says that there are at least some areas of Baghdad where people can walk around, and whether it's General Petraeus, U.S. military commander, or others, are there at least some areas where you could go outside of the green zone, the international zone, where people can go out, maybe go to a coffee shop, go to a restaurant, or simply take a stroll?
I can answer this very quickly, Wolf. No. No way on earth can a Westerner, particularly an American, stroll any street of this capital of more than 5 million people. I mean, if Al-Qaeda doesn't get wind of you, or if one of the Sunni insurgent groups don't descend upon you, or if someone doesn't tip off a Shia militia, then the nearest criminal gang is just going to see dollar signs and scoop you up. Honestly, Wolf, you barely last 20 minutes out there. I don't know what part of Neverland Senator McCain is talking about when he says we can go strolling in Baghdad.
Yeah, and today's violence is another reminder of how crazy this man is. At least as deluded as Bush's romantic wartime visions about Afghanistan. Maybe worse. And today he said he hates war. I think that's probably one of the few rational statements McCain has made. But George Bush, remember the things Bush said before the 2000 theft of the presidency during the campaign, 99 and 2000. He didn't believe in getting involved in other countries' internal affairs. Holy Christ. Right. Remember that? And he was going to bring to the presidency an attitude of respect for international agreements and international treaties. Remember that? Republicans lie. Well, so do Democrats, but a few Democrats don't. There are a few. All Republican politicians lie. All of them. Now, Michael Ware, in stating about sectarian violence, one particular type of violence is down, what he was referring to was the truce that had just was ready to be called by Muqtada al-Sadr, one of the Shiite religious leaders who decided to stop murdering Sunnis for a while. And that appears to have ended today. Because the murder continues. Now, as far as Richard Mellon-Scaife and Hillary Clinton, thanks to everybody. I've received about 15 of these photographs. I've never seen a picture of Mellon-Scaife before. He looks like a Nazi death camp guard. He does. He looks like his last name is something like Demjanjuk or something. He absolutely looks like a death camp guard. I swear he does. And Hillary Clinton sitting there in the picture, she and Scaife sitting at a table, and she's counting things on her fingers like, okay, I'll give you this, and then I'll give you that. I can't believe this. Let me ask you, Hillary Clinton supporters, is that acceptable to you that your candidate has somehow gone over to the dark side? This is a man who went after her and her husband. He's the one who insisted that she murdered Vince Foster and carried his body from an apartment where she was having some kind of weird sex with him, had his body taken to a park in D.C. and dumped along a trail. Son of a bitch, this guy is insane. Scaife is insane. And Hillary Clinton is sitting there having a chat with him? And this is the guy who funded the Arkansas Project at the American Spectator. Doesn't anybody remember this? Don't you Hillary Clinton supporters remember this filthy pig who provided the money to get Arkansas off-duty state troopers to come forward with testimony, whether it was true or not, about that horn dog Bill Clinton? Everything. I mean, this was a death vendetta against the Clintons. For what reason? Because Mellon-Scaife is a Nazi. That's why. He's a goddamn Nazi. And there sits Hillary Clinton? Byron York, writing at the National Review, had the picture, and he says, hell has officially frozen over. Oh, my God. And wasn't it Hillary said it would be naive to sit down and jawbone with your avowed enemies? This is a man, Richard Mellon Scaife, is the guy whose fondest dream must have been for Bill Clinton to commit suicide while he was in office, or Hillary Clinton to kill him. This is an evil man. Richard Mellon Scaife is one of those right-wing conspiracy. When Hillary Clinton talked about the vast right-wing conspiracy, then everybody on the right laughed and guffawed at her. In that regard, she was absolutely right. Of course there's a right-wing conspiracy in this country, but it certainly precedes her and her husband. It precedes her and her husband's birth. The vast right-wing conspiracy goes back to the 30s, for Christ's sake. Any student of American history understands that. There have been three or four serious attempts at a fascist takeover in this country. I mean violently. I'm not talking about the way they finally accomplished it. I'm talking about violent overthrows of the U.S. government. There was an attempt talked about by right-wingers in this country to assassinate Franklin Roosevelt. Jesus. And Hillary is hanging out with these people. Hillary Clinton supporters, pay attention to this. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M. Yeah, welcome back. 6:30 past the hour. Malloy here on Nova M Radio Network. All right, I did this last hour. I got to do it one more time. If you heard it the first hour, go do something else for a couple of minutes. Last night, after getting a phone call from a listener in Arizona, I put something out over the air I never should have put out over the air, and that is that Hillary Clinton's pastor in Utica, New York, had been sentenced to 3 years in prison for inappropriately touching a 7-year-old girl at his home last March. And the caller who informed me of this little slice of horror also included a website. Let me preface this by saying I'm certainly not blaming the caller. Not at all. This is a huge Mike Malloy mistake. I went to the website, newspaper in upstate New York, and there it was, an article about a Clinton pastor sentenced last Friday to 3 years in prison for inappropriately touching a 7-year-old girl at his home last March. The judge said the preacher, Reverend William Prokonek, sacrificed his honesty the day he testified. And it went on, you know, the article went on and on, so I quoted some of, then I went on and on about how dare these people bring up these people being anybody that's not a Barack Obama supporter, bringing up the Reverend Jeremiah Wright and his screaming accusations, all of which were true, against the United States, against our policies, domestic and foreign, yada, yada, yada. So here was a chance for me to, pour the hot coals of irony out on the Clinton campaign, except for one thing. I got it completely wrong. I looked at the story, and it said blah, 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 but in the story it says, but as the former Clinton pastor was sentenced Friday to 3 years in prison, et cetera, et cetera. Clinton pastor. What they're referring to is Clinton, New York, a town, not a candidate. So, I went on. I was right at the end of the program, and after the program, Kathy, who had been reading the article, said, you may want to take a look at this. I don't think they were talking about the senator. I think they were talking about the town. Turns out she was right, and the caller who told me about this was absolutely right in passing on the information. Alternet.org got it completely wrong also, and now I understand, possibly as a result of my reporting this story, it went out to a couple other progressive or liberal talk show hosts, and it may have gotten out. So this is my absolute, total, complete, covered in shame, apology for not doing what I've been trained to do, and that is to check the story completely before I put it out over this radio program. Any embarrassment I've caused to this network or to liberals or progressives or whatever, or to Clinton supporters, I really apologize to the Clinton supporters, because that's kind of to whom my little mini tirade was directed last night. So I got it totally wrong, and I totally apologize. Thank you very much. Oh, I hate it when that happens. Kathy in Green Bay wrote this in over the break regarding Richard Mellon Scaife. Kathy writes, first, McCain embraces Bush after Bush's presidential campaign trashed him and his family. Now Hillary gives an interview to Richard Mellon Scaife and his newspaper after the Arkansas Project trashed her and her family. Is there anything these people won't do as long as it helps them politically? Anything? And then she has a string of cuss words here. Oh, my God. Oh, and by the way, if you're wondering about, here we go. Let us dip into, once again, George Orwell's novel, 1984. Here we go. This is the part I left out when I read the entire damn thing on the air a couple of years ago, but here we go. The Pentagon today said an eruption of violence in southern Iraq, where U.S.-backed government forces were battling Shiite militias, was, quote, a byproduct of the success of the surge, end quote. Pentagon Press Secretary Jeff Morrall said it showed that the Iraqi government and security forces were now confident enough to take the initiative against Shiite extremists in the southern part of Basra. Mr. Morrall said in a Pentagon press conference, quote, citizens down there have been living in a city of chaos and corruption for some time, and they and the prime minister clearly have had enough of it, end quote. At least 20 people have been reported killed in 2 days of fighting in Basra, another 20 in clashes in the Sadr City district of Baghdad. Yada, 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 yada. Morrall disputed suggestions that the fighting showed the risks of drawing down U.S. surge forces. Oh, no, to the contrary, he said, quote, this has just begun this week. But I think at this early stage, it looks as though it is a byproduct of the success of the surge, end quote. We are at war with East Asia. We have always been at war with East Asia. Except when we weren't. Now, regarding that, George in Seattle, come on, George, two emails in one day. George writes, Mike, George Bush is moving right now to take out the Mahdi army as a prelude to attack Iran. In fact, the entire uptick in violence in Iraq is tied to Bush's plans to attack Iran. Bush knows that he needs to take out the Mahdi army and the Badr brigades to try to avoid fighting a two-front war when he attacks Iran. If the average Iraqi knows what George Bush is up to, why are the two remaining Democratic candidates sitting on their asses not doing anything to stop him? Joe Biden said if Bush attacked Iran without coming to Congress first, he would take action to impeach Bush. Those are nice words coming from Joe Biden, but after the fact is too late. Bush and Cheney must be impeached now. George, it's not going to happen. And Gordon in Oklahoma writes in, Mike, I wonder if insane McCain's economic advisor, since McCain has already admitted he's clueless on economic issues, does that advisor, or would that advisor, be able to explain what if Social Security had been invested in Wall Street as Dim Sun proposed? Just asking. That's right. Remember that? God. Oh. All right, let's do a call here. Ron is calling from Austin, Texas, listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Hey, Ron. Hey, Ron.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you.
My question is, I'm not a Hillary supporter. I'm not an Obama supporter. I'm not a McCain supporter.
Uh-huh.
So Obama must be in the same club of insiders as the other two, or he wouldn't be getting this kind of publicity. That's all I wanted to say.
That's it?
Well, he says all the right things. He's going to, you know, do all the, but isn't he appointing a cabinet member to the Secretary of State that's very controversial? And I forgot his name, but isn't this person, like, going to continue the war?
Are you talking about the foreign policy advisor that I'm aware of? And he's got, look, first of all, he's got about 200 advisors right now. I don't know who's going to wind up in the cabinet. But one of them, the name that stands out to me is Zbigniew Brzezinski, who was...
I think that's him, yeah.
Yeah, it was Carter's foreign policy advisor.
Right.
It was he that suggested, first of all, a boycott of the 1980 Olympics because that was the Moscow Olympics, I believe, because of the Soviet Union's invasion of Afghanistan. And it was also Brzezinski's idea to arm what became the Mujahideen that produced Osama bin Laden. That was then. This is now. You know, someone might be able to make an argument that was almost 30 years ago. And at the time, the great game, the murderous 50-year-long Cold War, so-called, was going on between the United States and the Soviet Union. So that was just part, like Vietnam was part of it, like the Cuban Missile Crisis was part of it, like the uprisings in Eastern Europe were part of it. So also the Russian invasion of Afghanistan, or the Soviet invasion of Afghanistan, which, by the way, brought down the Soviet Union. It was that invasion of Afghanistan and the resulting deaths of thousands of young Russian soldiers that finally forced, what's his name? I'm drawing a blank now. But the one that preceded Yeltsin and Gorbachev practically out of office. So as far as Barack Obama's advisors are concerned, I'm not sure who they all are. I know that some of them seem to be rational, seem to be intelligent, but you never know. And as far as Barack Obama coming out of nowhere, maybe, just maybe, his appearance is because, Ron, he was a charismatic figure. He came out of Illinois. People caught on to what he was saying. And don't forget, he addressed the, when was it, the Democratic National Convention back in 2004, and made such an impression because of his ability to be a visionary. And I think we need somebody like that, somebody who can be a visionary, as well as apply what he sees in his visions. Wait a minute, what am I saying? We'll be back in a moment. I'm Mike Malloy.
Primal scream you suppress. Embrace your inner liberal warrior with Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. After the break at the bottom of the hour, a moment with Bob. Angie writes in, hi Mike, regarding the photo of Hillary with Scaife and that magic moment that the two of them had together when she addressed a forum sponsored by his newspaper in Pittsburgh. Angie writes, hi Mike, nobody knows what Hillary and Scaife are talking about. Why does everyone automatically assume she's selling out? Hillary is incredibly strong, and she has to take on all kinds of characters in this political dark circus. She's swimming with the sharks, and that takes guts. She has to deal with all of these wealthy knobs and hold her own, and she does hold her own. If she was a lightweight, she'd have been gone a long time ago. But she's a fighter, and she has to deal with and speak with all of the big players. Why assume the worst of her? As I've sat back quietly and watched the ridiculous press during this race, it's plain as day to me that Hillary is the best shot we've got from the available choices. I think people have been trained to diss Hillary, and now it's like the in thing to do. Never forget the press lies. It lies giant hogs out its butt every single day. And wait a minute. It lies giant hogs out of its butt every single... Write that down for me, Kathy. Every single day, and during this candidate's race, it will lose its mind and say all kinds of things to make people feel a certain way. Everyone's being manipulated, whether they know it or not, and frankly, you don't know it, because if you did, it wouldn't be working very well, would it? Wait a minute now. Everyone's being manipulated, whether they know it or not. And frankly, you don't know it, because if you did, it wouldn't be working very well, would it? Did you get that, too? Okay, good. Avoid the mainstream press and go get the real facts instead. Then decide who Hillary is. Angie. I love Angie. Angie has a blog site. Angie is wonderful. But anyone who's swimming with sharks, Angie, that doesn't take guts, I don't think. Of course, I may be, just a closeted coward, but it would seem to me that someone who's swimming with sharks has a clear choice. A, which precedes the swimming, don't get in the water. B, once you find you're surrounded with sharks, get the hell out. Why would Hillary Clinton approach a thug bastard Nazi like Richard Mellon Scaife, a man who tried to kill her and her husband, tried to kill his presidency, tried to kill her daughter, maybe not literally, but damn near, tried to utterly and absolutely destroy them? Sit down with this rat bastard? I would just as soon open up his jugular and watch him squirm. Help! In a minute, Richard. Help! I'll get to the phone in a second. I'm going, just a minute. I have to finish my sandwich. But that's just me. And then Angie writes, never forget the press lies. Angie, I would no more forget the press lies than I would forget my own name. So, but I get your point. And then you say, avoid the mainstream press and go get the real facts instead. Honest to God, I've tried to do that. I have busted my ass trying to do that, except where it concerned her preacher. Except what I did last night. Oh, God. But I've tried to get the facts. I have gone to the record, the congressional record. I've gone to people who know much more than I. I've seen comparisons of Obama and Clinton's voting records, and I've come to a conclusion. They're pretty much cut from the same cloth, but there's a difference here. So far, Barack Obama hasn't lied repeatedly. But I love you anyway, Angie, and when this is all over, I hope we can be friends again. Just like my good friend Bart Kopp. I love Bart Kopp. He is a true American. I would take a bullet for Bart Kopp. Wait a minute. I would take a snowball for Bart Kopp. It just so happens on the Hillary Clinton issue, we're kind of not, on the same page. But that doesn't mean I don't love him and respect everything he does. He has the best website out there, one of the oldest. He's got an online radio show. He's a true American. BartKopp.com. If you haven't been there, go now. Crash his website. Tell him we love him. And Angie at her blog site. And everybody who is just absent. I've lost a couple of bureau chiefs. I've lost correspondents. I've had people who have listened to this program for 5 years call me a sexist pig son of a bitch that they'll never listen to again. Just like I get Jewish listeners who say, you Israel-hating anti-Semite, may you just twirl. But I don't take any of it seriously. Well, some of it I take seriously, but most of it I don't. Because, we're just one big happy family, we Democrats, and we'll all get back together at some point, those of us who are not dead when this is all over, right? We'll be right back. 26 before the hour. We're just about ready for a moment with Bob. But before we do that, I got an email during the break. Why don't you go to a website and check something out? It's the Faith Gallery, thefaithgallery.com. And click on Commander and Drag. And follow the instructions to see the to see a show. There's a new product coming out on the market from a couple of artists based in Chicago. I want you to look at it as soon as you can. TheFaithGallery.com. Faith Gallery. TheFaithGallery.com. Click on Commander in Drag. And just check it out. Just check it out. More on this later. We'll tell you more about this later. But check it out. The Faith Gallery, Commander in Drag. It is time once again, ladies and gentlemen, for a moment with Bob. Hey, Mike, I saw a documentary about the UFO phenomenon called The Disclosure Project about 7 years ago. It was a video of the press conference the Disclosure Project group held at the National Press Club, where more than 20 military, government, corporate, and intelligence community witnesses came forward to urge open congressional hearings on the subject of UFOs. One of the witnesses talked about photographs he had seen of alien bases on the dark side of the moon. At the time, we lived less than a block away from the neighborhood store, and I walked over there every couple of days to pick up some disposable diapers for our then one-year-old little guy. After seeing the documentary, even the most mundane day-to-day tasks became somehow more dramatic. Instead of just walking over to the store for another pack of Huggies, I found myself thinking, here I am, going to the store for some more diapers, and there are alien bases on the dark side of the moon. Now, I didn't believe that there were alien bases on the moon. I just remember that sometimes new information can completely change one's worldview, and regardless of the new paradigm and all of its earth-shaking consequences, I still needed to pick up some diapers. And then yesterday I read this. Last Friday, Dick Cheney was in Saudi Arabia for high-level meetings with the Saudi king and his ministers. On Saturday, it was revealed that the Saudi Shura Council, the elite group that implements the decisions of the autocratic inner circle, is preparing, quote, national plans to deal with any sudden nuclear and radioactive hazards that may affect the kingdom following experts' warnings of possible attacks on Iran's Bushehr nuclear reactors. There will be no warning, no declaration of war, no hearings, no public debate. The already issued orders governing the operation put the decision solely in the hands of the president. He picks up the phone, he says, go, and in 12 hours' time, up to 1 million Iranians could be dead. And everything I've done since I've read that article is immediately followed by the thought, Jesus H. Christ, Dick Cheney is gambling that our country can kill up to 1 million Iranians in an instant, people who pose no threat to our nation, completely innocent people, and the rest of the world will do nothing in retaliation. China and Russia will allow an unprovoked nuclear attack against their ally and stand idly by. The civilized world will look away as we literally bring nuclear hell down to earth again after a 63-year hiatus? Really? Or is Dick, I've got a bunker and you don't, Cheney in full Dr. Strangelove mode, expecting retaliation and channeling George C. Scott as General Buck Turgidson?
I'm not saying we wouldn't get our hair mussed, but I do say no more than 10 to 20 million killed, tops, depending on the breaks.
Is this where we are? No member of the House or Senate to call, no protest to stage, nothing we can do to stop our country from becoming the global pariah nation of all time? Because no warning, no declaration of war, no hearings, no public debates, and 12 hours away from global insanity and unimaginable death for millions. Didn't these bastards ever see any of the post-nuclear war apocalypse movies, On the Beach, or Failsafe, or The Day After, or Testament, or The War Game? Those were warnings, not blueprints. Or are Cheney, Bush, and the rest of the cabal, the spiritual descendants of Hitler's bean counters, who neatly add up all the dead on an Excel spreadsheet and find the figures acceptable? And even if, by some miraculous circumstance, there are no repercussions. Highly doubtful. But even so, what is it going to be like to live in a country whose leadership has gone completely berserk and slaughtered innocent millions at will? From afterdowningstreet.org, on July 5th, 2007, Congressman John Olver said he was deeply concerned whether we will actually have an election in November 08, as he believes this administration will likely strike Iran from the air, declare a national emergency, and cancel the 08 elections. Kind of makes me wish we could all live peaceably on alien bases on the dark side of the moon instead of living in the belly of a rogue nation beast. Things to do today. Pick up the little guy from school, get him over to his Aikido practice by 6, maybe have dinner afterwards at that Vietnamese noodle soup place, and, oh yeah, check to see if we have enough canned chili in case there's a nuclear war and the whole goddamn world goes crazy. Regards, Bob. A B.S. But in case the above just turns out to be a Dick Cheney fascist nuclear warmongering ghost story, we can only hope, here are a couple of items to jack up the dread-o-meter. Arctic shelf collapses, the International Herald Tribune. A chunk of Antarctic ice, 7 times the size of Manhattan Island, has suddenly collapsed, putting an even greater portion of glacial ice at risk. And food prices rise worldwide. CNN consumers worldwide face rising, from CNN, consumers worldwide face rising food prices in what analysts call a perfect storm of conditions. Freak weather is a factor, but so are dramatic changes in the global economy, including higher oil prices, lower food reserves, and growing consumer demand in China and India. In the long term, prices are expected to stabilize. However, consumers still face at least 10 years of more expensive food. Bob. We need some music, Kathy, for a moment with Bob. Thanks to Bob Alexander, our resident philosopher, for another wonderful moment with Bob. God. Oh. There are alien bases on the dark side of the moon. Oh, hell, I knew that. I mean, that's not exactly a news flash. Regarding Afghanistan, just a quick item here, then we're going to try to get some phone calls. The item is from the Guardian of the UK. Afghanistan is being deprived of $10 billion of promised aid, and 40% of the money that has been delivered to Afghanistan was spent on corporate profits and consultancy fees. According to a report by aid agencies released today, the failure of Western donors to keep their promises, compounded by corruption and inefficiency, is undermining the prospects for peace in Afghanistan. Really? Really? Much of the money earmarked for aid is diverted to political or military purposes. Who knew? The report by Akbar, an alliance of international aid agencies working in the country, including Oxfam, Christian Aid, Islamic Relief, and Save the Children, says the international community has pledged $25 billion to Afghanistan since 2001, but only $15 billion has been delivered. The U.S. is the biggest donor to Afghanistan, but is also responsible for one of the biggest shortfalls. The U.S. delivered only half of the $10 billion committed between 2002 and 2008, according to the Afghan government. The report estimated that 40% of the aid money spent in Afghanistan has found its way back to rich donor countries such as the, surprise, surprise, U.S., through corporate profits, consultant salaries, and other costs, significantly inflating the cost of projects. For example, a road between the center of Kabul and the international airport costs $2.3 million per kilometer, 4 times the average cost of building a road in Afghanistan. Afghanistan's biggest donor, USAID, allocates nearly half of its funds to 5 big contractors. The U.S. government has awarded major contracts, some worth hundreds of millions of dollars, to, surprise, KBR, the Lewis Burger Group, Chemonix International, Bearing Point, and Dyncor International, according to a study by the U.S.-based Center for Public Integrity. Most full-time expatriate consultants working for private companies in Afghanistan cost between $250,000 and $500,000 a year, which includes salary, allowances, and associated costs. Oh, P.S., the U.S. military is currently spending $100 million a day in Afghanistan. Where's the money going? Kellogg Brown and Root, the Lewis Burger Group, Chemonics International, Bering Point, and DynCorp International. PPS. The report also shows that a disproportionate amount of aid follows the conflict and is being used for political and military objectives rather than reducing poverty. Just thought you might like to know. Kellogg, Brown, and Root. Let me say that again. Most of the money is going to hundreds of millions of dollars. Kellogg, Brown, and Root. There's so much money to be made in the war business. It's like the religion in the God business. There's a lot of money to be made in the God business, a lot of money to be made in the religious business. And if you can combine the two, the war business, war and God. And if you can combine the two, ask Dick Cheney, ask Kellogg Brown and Root, ask Blackwater. If you can combine the two, son of a bitch, you've hit the jackpot.
Go to bed angry. Let Mike Malloy do it for you on Nova M Radio.
It's about 10 before the hour. God, I got so much here. So many things to toss out, so little time. But let's do some phone calls because, once again, we're getting way behind, starting with Tom in Madison, Wisconsin, listening on 92.1 The Mic. Hey, Tom.
Hi, Mike. How you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm still here. So I'm going to send you a song down the road. I don't know if you'll...
All right,
I'm
going
to email to Kathy. About
send it to Kathy? Or you
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But okay. Anyway, I've called you a couple times, but not for a while. But first of all, I wanted to say about that. I heard a great interview with Juan Coles from the University of Michigan.
Yeah.
And, you know, now and then, and he's got a blog, so I've never looked at it, but I might check it out. But, you know, he speaks Farsi, he speaks Arabic, he's lived there, you know, he's been studying
the
area for a long time. And, you know, I have to turn off the radio now because I just got plenty of information. It just can drive you nuts, but... he said, and this is really edifying, every now and then you hear these things, they're like, whoa. Al-Sadr is an Iraqi nationalist. I have a very good friend from Iran who goes back, so I get a lot of info in, you know, what's going down.
Did you just send me an email tonight to this effect?
No, I didn't, but it's probably...
Somebody else said that, too. He's,
right.
Al-Sadr
is a nationalist Shia, so he doesn't like the Iranians and the government that we put into Iraq
does like them.
Right. They were Shias, and when we started the Iraq, helped Saddam with invading Iran, these guys split to Iran. They were trained by the Iranians, and they're now the government. The government in Iraq sides with Iran.
Well, you know what's interesting?
And it's
to see Iran's leader Ahmadinejad go to Iraq and meet with al-Maliki and walk around the streets the way McCain says is possible for an American and greet it like an old buddy. And when Bush goes there, you have to take a couple of battalions of fully armed Marines and half the Air Force just to cover his ass for fear somebody is not going to drop a bunker buster on him.
Right.
Isn't it interesting? He's our guy, but he hangs out with Ahmadinejad like they're old buddies, which they are.
So when I heard that interview with Juan Coles, I thought, you know, you think things are screwed up beyond comprehension, and you hear more stuff. It's like, oh, my God, people here don't have a clue what's going on. And the other thing about Iran, if we attack them, and, you know, my friend, he knows a lot of people in Iran, and he's not sure, but, you know, they have missiles that will reach the Green Zone, the army bases, Israel, and the Strait of Hormuz, all the oil wells. And he says they have a 5 million man army. And also, the president of Iran is like Prince Charles. my friend told me he can't even call it the National Guard. He's a puppet. And Americans think he's the leader. The mullah's the leader.
Right, exactly.
I mean, people here are so out of touch, it's mind-boggling.
Too many copies of the blue pill went out, and too many people swallowed it.
Yeah, and let me just comment one last thing, because I've got about the Hillary, all this crap going on. It's like, you know, people are focused on this. We're about to bomb Iran. And, you know, they've got everybody distracted with all this garbage. But, you know, what you said, I agree. I mean, I hear all this stuff, Hillary's strong, and I'm not, you know, Kucinich was this straight-up guy, and they got rid of him quick. And, you know, people didn't do anything, and they just let him go, and blah, blah, blah. So we're stuck with who the media's picked. And, you know, Bill Clinton's a liar. He lied.
Mm-hmm.
Hillary stays with a guy. You know, they caught him with the one woman. Everyone calls him her strong for that, and she's lied. And it's like, okay, we've got Saudi Arabia, oh, bad country. So we're going to have Bush Clinton, monarchy, or whatever you want to call it, in America. And people think that's change. It's like that alone.
I know.
They're dishonest.
Yeah.
It's like, doesn't anybody want to just try something and see if they're honest for a change? Forget all the...
Well, that's
it's insane.
I can get on that train very easily. I am so sick of the lies and the deceits and the half truths and everybody peeking out from behind their fingers. And so far as I know, up to this point in the campaign, Barack Obama has not told a lie that I'm aware of. I'm sure somebody working in opposition research in the Clinton campaign, either officially or not officially, will send me something that says, "You're crazy, Malloy, look here." But so far as I know, he has not told lies. I was just damn near on the verge of voting for anybody who just simply wouldn't lie.
Yeah, same here.
Someone with integrity.
You never hear that word. And they never say, they always talk about the truth. I don't care. I want someone who's honest, who has personal integrity.
I hear.
Period. I've never seen that. You know, I'm 54 at the end of this month. I've never seen a, you know, Carter was close, but even he says, I didn't know what was going on.
Yeah.
But the sad thing is, you know, what you said before, we're about to bomb Iran, and everyone thinks the big problem is Hillary and Barack. It's like, hello, folks, you're going to be woke. If we do that, I think what you read, that Bob thing, you know, I personally wonder if we're going to have an election. Right now, I'd say we're probably not going to have an election.
Well,
I don't know. If we drop a bomb on Iran, and if they retaliate, 5-million-man army, missiles, it's not going to be an election.
Yeah, I hear you. All right, listen, thanks.
Anyway.
Tom, one last thing. You said you're turning 54?
Yeah.
You sound like you're in your 20s.
I know, and people, I look fairly young. I live as an artist and musician, so that keeps me young.
Well, you have an incredibly young voice. Anyway, thanks.
Well, thank
always good to
God
hear from you.
God bless you, man.
All right, take care.
All
take
right,
care.
Yeah.
All right. 54? Wow. I remember that. I remember 54. All right, we have a break. When we come back, Cal and Scott and Len will join us on the phone. We have two open lines. If you'd like to get in here, the number is 800-989-1480. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is the Nova M Radio Network.
Well,
Welcome back. 6 and a half past the hour. This is the Molloy Program on the Nova M Radio Network, and I am he, Molloy. Thank you for staying with us, or if you're just joining, you certainly missed an exciting, informative, and entertaining first 2 hours. Let us proceed right to the phones, okay? The number here again is 800-989-1480 if you want to give it a shot. Cal is calling from Iowa, listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Hey, Cal.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
Great. I'm about halfway through Barack's Dreams of My Father.
Uh-huh.
Listening to it on DVD. Uh-huh. I'm a trucker. And I got to tell you, the guy can really write. I mean, I wish they, let's just, hopefully Hillary will just go away and we can get Barack in a room with McCain, because he'll just eat him up. It is, and what I called about before, you went off on it though, is it's all about the money. It's all about, these oil companies and Bush, and I think Hillary owns oil wells. If they weren't making money, this war would be over. That's all there is to it.
Well, that's true. One of the goals in attacking Iraq was to take Iranian oil off the market, which would have the net effect of driving up the price of the remaining oil that's being pumped from other sources. The money to be made in Iraq is coming out of the pockets of the American taxpayer, and the loans. This is a first war, I understand, where other countries are financing our war through a series of loans that this filthy pig government of ours is signing off on, so that our grandchildren will still be paying for this. Hell, we haven't even finished paying for Vietnam yet.
And you know what? If anybody out there, any of you Republicans out there listening, who always sit on your haunches and say, well, the Democrats will make all of our taxes go up. And it's like, guys, oil is through the roof. We don't need taxes. And our taxes going up would at least go back to us.
Hey, every time anybody, and I truly feel sorry for truckers or the real truckers, but every time anyone goes to the gas pump, there's where you're paying your tax for this filthy war. That's one of the places. The tax also is on the increase in food prices. The tax is also on the decline in the value of people's homes. It just never stops. These filthy, dumbass Republicans who think that a tax has to come in the form of a tax, a bill, demonstrate again, repeatedly, forever, their gross ignorance. Their total misunderstanding of how the system works. I despise them. I wish they would all go to hell, please.
Well, and the sad part about it is, and I do have friends who are these people, and when I argue with them about it, they've just been taught this from childhood. I had an argument with somebody the other day about the God thing, and I said anybody who forces religion on their kids before 18, it's child abuse. You're just setting them up for failure. And anyway, hey, on a lighter note, are you guys ever going to do another cruise?
What? Cruise?
I missed the first one, man, and I would love it if anything. I don't.
Well, I'd love to do it. It's up to the the boss at Nova M, though. But that would be great fun. Wait a minute. Yes, Kathy?
I was just going to say, Kyle, we're going to go on vacation next month. We're going to go to Florida if you want to tag along. I mean, we've got room in the van.
Where do you guys go in Florida? Because I just changed my address down there because there's no state tax.
we usually go to an undisclosed location where we torture seagulls and try to catch porpoises in drift nets. You think we're liberals? Ha 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 ha. Cal, I gotta leave you there. Thanks, pal.
Thanks, bro.
All right, I appreciate you checking in. Drift nets? I remember not so long ago when I worked here in Atlanta for WSB, and I had a caller from one of the suburban counties around Atlanta whose main issue was turtle exclusion devices. Nobody talks about it anymore. turtle exclusion devices. I guess those too many sea turtles were being caught in drift nets, or I wonder what ever happened to that guy.
Well, the sea turtle news probably got overshadowed by the fact that so many people were being murdered worldwide in the oil wars.
That could be. That could be. Len is calling from New York City, listening on the Internet. Len, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike. How you doing there?
I'm all right. How are you?
Oh, good, thanks, I guess, overall. Let's see, the price of pizza just went up for the second time in 2 months around here.
You're kidding.
$2.50 a slice. The first rise was because of the rise in the cheese, and the second one was the rise in the wheat.
Oh my
which
God!
Which leads me to think that he's using artificial tomatoes.
because
that hasn't gone up. I mean, but it's gone up in the store.
Yeah.
But last time I spoke with you, I said watch out for Muqtada al-Sadr. And, you know, he's starting, but my prediction is that he's going to just keep this simmering. You know, I don't think he has John McCain in his crosshairs, but I think he's just going to keep this simmering to remind everybody that, you know, that we're a long way from peace.
He impresses me as one of those types who will keep it simmering, to use your phrase, mainly because he can.
Because he can, because he doesn't want to bring in the full firepower of the United States to wipe out, you know, a million people trying to get him. And he doesn't want to give them the opportunity to sit down. I mean, you know, we're occupiers. 75% of them still want us out of there. I think well over 60% think it's perfectly fine to shoot at us.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the things we got to remind people about. But I was actually thinking of you and Tom Hartman as possible interviewers. You know, one of the things we need to do is generate stuff that's dispensable on YouTube and other media, you know, to divert people from just looking at the Reverend Wright pictures for the next 6 months.
Mm.
And, you know Michael Lerner, the Michael Lerner? You know, I was just, I emailed him and I asked him.
You mean
him,
rabbi. You mean rabbi, not reverend.
Rabbi, Michael Lerner.
At tikkun.org. Yeah, tikkun.org, yes.
Right, the guy who, you know, works with Cornel West.
Yes.
I'm a big fan of him, too. And, you know, I was just thinking that, you know, one or both of you, you know, could have an interview with him, you know, perhaps, you know, that could actually be captured on video and just, because I, you know, they have at his most recent website, you know, an article about, you know, why the hope of Obama is so attractive to people and, you know, what it means for people. And, you know, obviously that's the only choice we have. And so we've got to sell it.
You lost me on that last part, Len. We got to sell what?
We've got to sell Obama. We can't just.
Yeah.
We've got to, you know.
Yeah.
There's no other choice.
Well, there is, but there's no chance of another candidate being elected unless, of course, he got the votes. That's always kind of the joke. Well, this guy can't get elected, or this woman can't get elected. Well, not unless he or she gets the votes.
There's only three other people who can get elected.
Who?
And those are the survivors, whoever they might be, the vice presidential survivors, if one of the candidates gets picked off before the election.
Well, you mean picked off politically?
No, with a gun.
Oh, with a gun. You mean really picked off.
Right.
Yeah. What about the chances of Al Gore?
No way. No? I saw his face when he was asked about it a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
He was calmly enjoying a conversation. Somebody asked him about it, and his face, you know, his body language,
yeah,
which I don't usually read unless it's so obvious, it's just wrenching.
I hear you. Len, I got to go. Thanks, pal.
Be well.
Appreciate you checking in. Take care. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy.
Your own man, not a puppet on a string. Never come. uphold your family name. You've got to stand for something, or you'll fall for anything. You've got to stand for something, or you'll fall for anything.
You're working hard to put food on your family.
It is 21 past the hour. Time just flies when you're having fun, doesn't it? Back to your phone calls. Scott is calling from Federal Way, Washington, listening on KPTK. Hey, Scott.
Yeah, you know the silliness between these polls that are out now that Barack supporters say they'll vote for McCain if Hillary gets it and
right.
vice versa and all of that.
Right.
You know, that just goes to show you, you know, that's your so-called progressives for you that are so concerned about war and all of this kind of stuff. So
I know that it's like a bunch of 5 year olds on I said this the other night, or was it tonight, a bunch of 5 year olds on a preschool playground. What the hell is going on?
These people are absolutely insane. I wish that both of these candidates would go away, because I'm sick and tired of both of them. And then people sit up here and talk about Democrats are so much better than Republicans. Well, from where I'm seeing right now, what is the difference between the two of them? If I was somebody coming here from another country and somebody was trying to explain to me the difference and I was watching this kind of stuff going on, I would say, you're exactly the same as far as I can see.
Well, the voting records aren't that much different, but as we've talked about in this program, and a strong argument could be made that they're both pre-selected candidates. But on the other hand, you know, I maybe I'm just a victim of the kind of rhetoric, and I don't mean that in a negative way. I mean it in the classical way, the kind of rhetoric that somebody like Barack Obama or Bobby Kennedy or Martin Luther King can put out there. When I hear the kind of, to use a term from the neighborhood, the kind of speechifying that Barack Obama can do, and I listen to his words and I examine his, you know, all right, how many times has this one lied to me? And I come back with a zero that I'm aware of. And I know that can be parsed. I know that there are people listening who can say, well, Malloy, you're just a fool. Let me show you where he's lied. But up to this point, I tend to disagree a bit, Scott, that there's no difference between the candidates. There may not be a lot of difference between their voting records. There may not be a lot of difference between their positions. But there's a hell of a lot of difference, in my opinion, between their approaches to being a leader, to being somebody who doesn't just is not just mechanistic and says they're going to get into the Oval Office and they're going to do this and they're going to do that, but somebody who brings with that an understanding of, I don't know if I should say this, the human condition, an understanding that there's more to this than just, you know, moving pieces around a chessboard. So based on that. And
well, you know what turns me off right away from that?
What?
When you talk about that, when he talks about the fact that all military options are on the table when he talks
about. I understand, but how much of that is political rhetoric to get elected, and how much of it is real? I mean, I understand. I hear you. That is one of the bugaboos for me too. I don't know anymore how much is absolute truth from a candidate during the during the run up to an election or they're assuming the presidency, saying all options are on the table includes the option of face to face negotiations and peace and withdrawal and not getting us in this position again, all the way up to nuclear bombs. So I guess that phrase can be interpreted in any way we want to interpret it. I think we know. I think you know and I know, Scott, there are people who say that, who say it as a threat. And other people who say it are saying, The door is open to crack if we can just sit the hell down and talk. So I'm not off completely Barack Obama yet. I'm just not. I can't. I've been around too long. I've listened too much. I've heard too many promises. I've seen too many candidates. And this guy is intrigues me. I accept whatever charge of naivete comes with that, although I don't think it's my naivete. I think it's something else.
I mean, I can understand the speeches and all that, but, you know, something else that bothers me about that, because he has also said things like the Vietnam War was not, you know, his point of reference in that, you know, he looks at strategy. Mm-hmm. As far as a war is concerned, well, does that mean that if somebody sells you a BS strategy about attacking another country, that you're willing to go ahead and buy into it?
Well, no. I think it means that if somebody is trying to sell you lies, as I'm assuming that Bush was fed lies because he is a dumbass, but he was fed lies by the neocons who wanted this war. But if somebody who is bright, like Barack Obama, like Hillary Clinton, if they are fed lies, that they would take a look at the lies and say, "You're lying. Get out of my Oval Office before I have your ass physically removed." But I hear you. Scott, I got to go. I hear what you're saying, and I appreciate you checking in, pal. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy.
Than a flying monkey, more powerful than a special prosecutor. It's Mike Malloy on Nova M Radio.
It's about 25 before the hour. Email here from Russ in Portland, Oregon. And Russ writes, regarding the vitriol between Clinton and Obama supporters, ever been to a dog park? And have you ever seen two neurotic, possibly abused dogs try to dominate each other? That is precisely what we're seeing with some of the Obama and Clinton supporters. These are people who probably have serious personal troubles in their lives, and those problems are compounded by 8 years, maybe more like 30 years, of political jack-blank-ery. This is therapy for them, a chance to feel successful. They picked a side and are living vicariously through that candidate. I think it's crucial that the party come together and pick one. I read on the Huffington Post earlier today that Harry Reid was maybe working on a way to finish this thing soon. Given several months, I think a lot of those folks that would vote for McCain rather than their own party will settle down and realize they have to do what's right. This is about saving human lives. A vote for McCain is essentially a vote to kill people. A vote for either Clinton or Obama is a vote to save those lives. Signed, Russ, an Obama supporter who is sick of this crap. Yeah, so am I. I mean, sick of the crap. I said before, and I've said it many times, that once again, I'm probably going to put the noose around my neck and vote for the Democrat. But on the other hand, here in Georgia, my vote doesn't matter insofar as a Democrat or a Republican making it to the White House. It just doesn't matter anymore for voters like Kathy and me. So given that reality, I am probably going to vote for a third-party candidate this time. And if, I don't know who will be on the ballot here. So I can't really say. This is Georgia, okay? This is a state that the Democrats allowed. Democrats controlled the state for forever until about, what was it, Kathy, about 6 years ago, 5 years ago. And now every single state office is controlled by Republicans, the governorship, the legislature, so on and so forth. So I don't even know. Everything here is rigged. Everything is a lie. Everything is deceitful. Everything is Republican horse crap. This is Georgia. Okay. Okay. If Nader's on the ballot here, I will probably vote for him. And if that sounds like a cop-out, because my vote's not going to count no matter what I do, you know, interpret it, I guess, any way you want to. But, you know, what do you do when... I was trying to come up with a really cool metaphor, and I can't think of one. Something about a house burning down, and the firemen say, jump, we got a net. I don't know where I was going with that, but... it hit a brick wall. But no, our votes will not count. Kathy and I had one chance to make any impression whatsoever, and that was in the primary. And we had six or seven choices, and we voted for Barack Obama. It was still six or seven, wasn't it, when we had the Georgia primary? Was it six or seven, or was it down to four or five?
Well, actually, I'm trying to think. I think it may have only been a couple. I know Edwards pulled out.
It was Clinton,
right,
Obama,
right before that.
And Clinton, Obama, and Kucinich was gone. Edwards was gone.
No, I think Kucinich was still on the
ballot. No, because if he would, no,
I'd have to look it
if
up.
If he would have been, I would have voted for him. And I know I voted for Barack Obama. So, all right, back to your phone calls. Jen is calling from Sacramento, listening on KSAC. Hey, Jen.
Hey. You know, I'm not going to try to convince you against Obama. I'm not a supporter. I've seen too many things, and there's enough information out there. But, you know, the frustration is in all of us being fooled into believing that it matters. We've got a crazy Congress. We've got a crazy Senate. Our White House is taken over. The Supreme Court is taken over. And these people are very dangerous, and nobody wants to take them out of office, out of control. That even our people were busy going around in circles. He said, she said, they did, and that doesn't matter. What matters is life, and we are slowly going down the watering hole. And what I don't understand is with all the crap that's going on, and everybody saying we've had enough, mm-hmm. Clearly we don't have enough because nobody is putting a stop to it. We have people that are in prison because they were killers or rapists or whatever, and we said, by God, we are not going to tolerate it, and you're going to prison. And then you turn around, not you, but we turn around and say, well, yeah, these murderers is in the White House. One, they stole the election to begin with, and they've lied us into a war, but there's nothing we can do about it. It is illogical to me to accept this. I am ready to leave this damn country and say, you know what, the hell with it, because I want to live. I don't understand it.
Well, I hear what you're saying loud and clear. I don't understand it either. We have a process that we have several processes that have been totally violated and gutted. The process of making war stopped the last time. The constitutional way to declare war was handled was in December of 1941. That's a long damn time ago. That's 67 years ago. Every single war we have been involved in, shooting war, hot war, since then, has been as a result of a presidential directive. Now, we gave that up before you and I were born, Jen.
Right.
Now, as far as the other part of it, accountability, the Constitution lays out certain rules about how to handle an executive or an executive appointee or a judicial appointee that gets out of control. And in this instance, there is one person and one person only. I'm sorry, but, you know, for people who don't like to hear this, I'm not saying you don't, but there's one person only. Nancy Pelosi has the power to get the hell out of the way and let the U.S. Constitution go to work, and she won't do it. So when you or I or anybody says, you know, we all say we've had enough, but nobody's doing anything, where it concerns impeachment, it comes down to one person. That's just the way it goes. The speaker of the House, whether that person is a male or female, Democrat or Republican, that person has the power to allow an impeachment resolution, or I guess it's a resolution, to be introduced and then passed on to the House Judiciary Committee that begins taking testimony. And Nancy Pelosi will not do that. So,
and when she came in the beginning and said it's off the table, well, we should have said, well, take your ass and get out the way. That's what we should have said. Mm-hmm. And it's just, I mean, you know, think of it. If a farmer came outside hearing his chickens in their roost and they're screaming and he understands there's a fox in the house, he is not going to say, well, I'll just let the fox stay in there and eat up all the chickens. Oh, well, too bad, so sad. He's going to kill that fox.
That's right. That's right.
Thank you, Mike.
All right. Thanks for checking in, Jen.
Okay.
All right.
Bye.
Take care. Take care. Yeah. I know. I mean, there's not a frustrated caller to this program whose frustration I don't share. And see, it seems so simple, doesn't it, to us common folk? It just seems so simple. Congress should reassert its authority. Dick Cheney and Elliot Abrams and Negroponte and the rest of these rat bastards came into power illegally, surreptitiously, sneakily, little schmucks. They couldn't win it, so they had to steal it. They had to get it like thieves in the night. But they came into power with one goal. Everything else flows from this. The one goal was to establish the executive branch, the presidential, the office of the presidency and vice presidency by extension, as something beyond the reach of the courts and immune to the balance of the legislative branch. And by God, they've done it. They have turned the executive branch of our government into a dictatorship. You doubt that? With these scummy, crummy signing statements, that is used car salesman dreck. All that means is, well, okay, Congress passed a law, but I'm going to put a signing statement. I don't have to follow the law. Every time this little rat bastard or the one that preceded him issues a signing statement, what they are doing by definition is violating the law. The executive branch does not make laws. The legislative branch does. That's why it's called legislative. But Bush and Clinton and Bush before him, and I don't know, does it go back to Reagan? With these damnable signing statements, every time they do it, they're violating the law. And who's going to stop them? Nancy Pelosi, that's who. For the hour. All right, they're responsible for it again tonight. Ian Huff, Billy Foster, Ben Birch, Kristen Minnesota, Bob Alexander, Bridget Wolf, And Catherine Bay, She Who Must Be Obeyed. These are the people responsible for this program. If I haven't mentioned it lately, we'd like to invite you to become a Nova M founding member. You get free downloads and podcasts when you want them. Also access to special videos and additional features, including the video from the Phoenix event with Scott Ritter and me last month. So, and I think, are we still on schedule of some sort, Kathy, to install a internet cam here? What do you call it? Internet cam?
I hope not, but I have no idea.
I think we are, and I think that's only for founding members. God, I hope it's only for founding members. Oh, can you imagine what's going to wind up on YouTube?
I don't want people in here watching me eat sugar-free Jell-O and saltine crackers at 11:30 at night.
Well, we'll just move. We'll move the camera. You know, we can move it. It's no problem.
Can we point it at the ceiling?
That too. But all sorts of goodies, so to speak. If you do become a founding member, we'd love to have you do that. It is important to this program. It's also important to this network. So, if you would, go to NovaMradio.com and check out the mechanics of becoming a founding member. And I would appreciate it. Back to your phone calls. Raymond is calling from Roy, Washington, listening on Sirius. Raymond, before you begin, where is Roy, Washington?
It's on the other side of Fort Lewis.
Oh, okay.
I'm a worker.
It's a small town?
Yeah, we have 3 saloons, one jailhouse, and 2 churches.
Well, that's I guess, a typical ratio. All right, well, Raymond, welcome to the program.
Yeah, thank you. And, you know, I'm glad you're on, and I love your program.
Well, thank you.
I want to say that you liberals, myself included, are very easy to manipulate.
Yeah, that's true.
Yep, typical Karl Rovian type of politics.
Yeah.
When he left the administration, what did he say he wanted to do? He said he wanted to go out and make sure that we have another Republican president.
That's right, he did.
Yep, and so what we have are 2 excellent candidates tearing each other apart. Meanwhile, we have, my goodness, McCain just going across the country going like, I'm good. I'm a maverick. Elect me. And this
yeah,
is
but,
like,
but Rove is not Shiva. Rove is not Jesus. Rove is not some mystical, magical figure who can get inside the heads of Clinton and Obama and cause them to do what they're doing, although I think most of it's coming from Clinton. So,
yeah, but yeah. Who's feeding, who is, and I ask you, who is feeding this information to them? Who is giving all of these little leaks, these special leaks from, let's go from most recently, the, what do you call it? The passports. Who is allowing this stuff to come out?
Well, the media are reporting it.
Uh-huh.
Otherwise, none of us would know in any of this garbage. The media are the ones who got out the Reverend Jeremiah Wright nonsense.
But the timeliness of this leads me to be suspicious. It raises a lot of red flags with me because as I look back on the Kerry campaign and the previous campaigns too, it tells me that this guy is there, and he's pulling strings from afar. And he is doing things that, you know, it makes you go like, my God, he's good. But at the same time, I say to myself, this guy is the devil. So my bottom line is, no matter who is the Democratic pick, I will hold my nose, cross my legs, and say, here I go, I'm voting Democrat.
Well, I hear that, and in a perverse, sick way, because I am a liberal and I'm easily manipulated, that makes sense. Thanks, Raymond. I do appreciate your checking in. Barbara is calling from Minneapolis, listening on the Internet. Barbara, we have very little time, but welcome to the program.
Well, thank you. And did I hear schmuck?
You did.
I love it. Anyway, I wanted to say, I don't think Iman Muhammad Sadr wants to keep things simmering. He wants us to get the hell out of there. He's a Shiite, and they're the ones that really want to take over, isn't he?
I believe you're absolutely right. Al-Maliki is Shia. The Iranians are Shia. And Muqtadir al-Sadr, is that his name? He's a Shia. They want to be able to carry on their thousand-year-old vendetta against Sunnis. And, of course, the Sunnis want to do the same.
Yeah.
But they want us the hell out of the way.
Yeah.
And a rational American would say, yeah, we should get out of the way of a 1,300-year-old blood feud between the followers of the Prophet Muhammad. But the problem is, you see, the country, Iraq, is sitting on our oil.
Uh-huh.
So that's,
our oil, of course.
That's why we're there.
Yeah.
Frankly think, yeah, get the hell out of the way. Let them decide. You know, who is going to exact the most blood revenge for events that happened 1,300 years ago? And guess what, Barbara? We're out of time. I'll tell you what. If you call back in the next day or two, we will bump you up to the front of the line.
Hey, okay? I love it. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Barbara. And for everybody holding on, I'm sorry. Once again, we ran out of time. We'll do it again tomorrow night, okay? Take care. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is the Nova M Radio Network.